Noah's Ark and the all the different things over there, so that ship can sail in the stormy seas of the youth area for many years to come. And those are brutal waters. Amen. That ship has sailed through some tough stuff. Most ships don't have 400 tons of rock in the bottom of them. Amen. But Gary, we appreciate you and the crew that showed up yesterday and done the staining. We just thank you for that. And if you get a chance, take a look over there from the road. It is a beautiful sight to behold. Amen. They didn't hear it. That's good. Luke chapter 10, verse 23. This is still a part of the harvest series. But this is what the fruit of the field looks like. Luke chapter 10, verse 23. And I guess the title of this message is, there's a mess. There's a man right past the mess. There's a man right past the mess. We could probably go home and say it was good just because the title was good. Amen? How many of you here this morning are a mess, or was a mess, but there was a man or a woman past the mess? Right? There was a man or a woman past the mess. That's what I want you to know. Luke, I hear pages turn. I'll wait one more second. If you don't know where the book of Luke is, go to the table of contents. That's a terrible march, ain't it? Y'all are ready. And he turned him into his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are they which see these things that you see." Verse 24, "For I tell you that many prophets and the kings desired to see those things which you see and have not seen, hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." Verse 25 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall we do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto them, 'What is it written in the law? How readest thou?'" That's the scariest place in the world to be, don't you think? Somebody who's willing to tempt Jesus or tempt God. What is he's going to put God on trial? He's going to stand up and say, let me put you to the test. I got a question for you. Amen. What do I got to do to inherit the kingdom of God? What do I got to do to get that? I love when you ask Jesus a question. A lot of times the thing it is, a question will come back to you. You already know. A lot of you know the answer. A lot of you can repeat the answer and say what it takes, but yet still not perform it. Well, we'll know what it takes to get into heaven. We gotta believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, but the thing about it is, believing in Him means it changes everything in your life. I believe in Jesus Christ, not only by my words, but my actions. It'll change everything. If you believe in something, nobody will ever have to ask you if you believe it or not. You just do it. Amen? I love that. He says, "What is written in the law, and how readest thou?" He asked him, "What do you see in it?" I'm going to ask you that today. What do you see in it? Listen to what the answer is. And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." If you take one of them, if you're a radical out highlighting, pen writing, Bible writing person, right here would be a nice place to underline all the alls. All thine heart. God don't want part of your heart. He wants it all. "With all thy soul." He wants all of it. "With all thy strength." He wants all of it. Whew. This is coming a man who didn't even believe in Jesus. He knew the answers. He just didn't want to apply them. "With all thy strength. With all thy mind." Whew. What do you think about most of the time? Is it Jesus or the world? Is it other stuff or is it Jesus? I'm not telling you can't have your own desires and your own thoughts, but what do they come back to? I'm not even preaching yet, but can you feel the Spirit of God? I can. There's a convicting spirit in this place right now. I feel it. "And with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." My goodness, do you love others like you love yourself? Do you give anybody else forgiveness like you give your own self forgiveness? Have you let anybody else off the hook like you let yourself off the hook? Some of you got a mile wide, a mile deep of resentments that you can list about everybody else, but you won't ever bring up any of yours. Ain't that amazing? There's Jesus on the cross, and the first thing He says that changes the whole eternity for one man and for all of us, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." Not after the cross, during. Not before it was all finished, but while it was going on. Some of y'all, I hate to tell you this, but some of the greatest freedom you'll ever find is when you start forgiving people in the midst of the trouble, not after you get reconciled. I've not even got to the meat of the message yet. Verse 28, "And He said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." Man, we make spirituality more complicated than it needs to be. No, we make salvation more complicated than it needs to be. He just flat out told him, if you do these two things, you'll live. If you're doing these, you got it. Amen? But ain't it like us? We'll add something to it. When we're not right, we'll always throw something on there. Amen? Right now, if he would have walked away from Jesus, he would have done pretty good. Because he had the answer right. Some of y'all have been in this place before. You knew what to do and you just didn't do it. And then you opened up your mouth and you done it again. Amen. Verse 29. "But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" Golly bum. Who am I supposed to love? People just like you and worse. Amen? And some better, probably. But he wanted to justify himself. How many of you in here have tried to justify yourself? I did. I tried to make it sound like I was right before I was right. Amen? I tell you how I went to church and who I went to church with and why my family was, I got this person and that person and this person and they're doing, you know what? I didn't have Jesus for myself. I could justify why I should be right. And I can tell you there's a lot worse, there's a lot worse people out there than me. You ever used that one? There's a lot of people out there worse than me. God, I love this. Jesus goes awesome on him right here. He starts teaching him in a parable, but the parable is us. Y'all ready? We're going to preach now if you're ready. Good. "And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departing, leaving him half dead." Man, Jesus is so cool. This man left Jerusalem and he headed down to Jericho, and in the midst of it, some thieves jumped out and robbed him and took his clothing and his stuff and wounded him and left him half dead. Man, Jesus, this is amazing. Listen, I want you to know this. Jesus will wreck your life with this world if you let Him. Did I just say that out loud? Some of y'all should have got up and left. Because I just said Jesus will wreck your life with the things of this world if you let Him. And some of y'all said amen. Some of you radicals said amen. You notice, I'm going to go on in this story, but Jesus never condemns the thieves. He never mentions how bad the thieves were and what they did wrong and how he ended up in a bad spot. And I hate to tell you this, you're going to be mad at me when I say it, and when it rolls off my tongue, you're going to be mad. Sometimes Jesus doesn't care how you got to the situation that you got to. Whew. Right now, some of y'all are thinking, man, you're not a very good preacher. You're not going to keep anybody at this church. It's not my job to keep anybody at this church. It's my job to tell you the truth. It's my job to tell you that your life can get so jacked up and you can be without anything. You can be naked and broken and half dead and God can still be in it. Matter of fact, God is absolutely in it. And he don't even talk about the people who did it to you, because guess what? I hate to tell you this. He's involved. He's involved. And when I read that thing, you said thieves. Automatically in your mind, you put ski masks on. You had them hiding behind bushes. You had them in revolvers, Saturday night specials, Uzis and machine guns, and they jumped out of a black van and they beat you half down and left you half dead and took all your good stuff. And why ain't you on my side, God, for them doing that? But a lot of times, I hate to tell you this, we let the thieves in our lives and we let them in the front door. We let the thieves of drugs and pornography and sleeping around and committing and telling tales and murmuring and complaining and passing on gossip, and we let, there ain't no amens in here, we let thieves into our lives a lot of times. We take off down. He went from Jericho, from Jerusalem to Jericho. He went down. Sometimes we go down. Some people tell us, don't go down that path. You could be robbed. You could be stolen from. You could lose some stuff. How many times did somebody tell you not to get involved with alcohol, not to get involved with drugs, not to run around with those people? I hate to tell you this. If you can show me your friends, I'll show you your future not long from now. Amen. That's preaching. I don't know if you like it or not, but it's truth. Took on a path. Started doing the things that everybody in your faith, in your family that loves you, told you not to do. And guess what you did? You got robbed. You got robbed. Took all your money, didn't it? It stripped you, man. Some of y'all don't like how I preach, but it'll be all right. It's like medicine. It'll get you, you'll get used to it. Hey, man, listen. Praise God. He strips you of what? All your word. He strips you of your pride. He strips you of your future. But I'm going to go back to that. He strips you of your word. How many of you here used to be able to tell some people some stuff and they thought you was telling the truth? Now you can't even tell a simple thing with anybody not believing you. Preach, preacher, that's true. Now you can't even tell people you're going to the store. Nobody trusts you. You can't even tell somebody you're going to hang out over here or over there. Nobody trusts you. You got, hey, can I do this? I don't trust you. Remember when you used to have a good name? Remember when you used to have a something you could pass to somebody? Remember when you had a shred of decency? Man, I tell you, some of you think I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. I've been robbed by the enemy that I let into my life. I've been stripped down to having nothing, especially a good name. I can't believe some of you showed up here to hear me preach. I guarantee you 10 years ago they wouldn't have been five people to get in a room to hear what I'd have to say, especially anybody that knew me. They'd say he's telling a lie. Some of you are starting to clutch your purse. I ain't going to take nothing from you, I promise. What kind of preacher y'all got? I tell you which one you got. You got a saved one. And I was in the guttermost, and he took me to the uttermost. Amen. He found me when I was lower than anybody else. That's why I know I can help somebody get out of the gutter, because I've been in the gutter. Amen. Somebody said, well, how do you know Jesus can work that way? Because he worked that way in my life. Don't give me an excuse. I got people tell me the problem, but they won't take an answer. Don't give me the problem if you don't want an answer. And I just want to keep rehearsing the problem. Well, the problem ain't never going to change, but the answer can change everything. Boy, I'm about to lose my mind in here. Somebody might have to come and finish this word. Anybody ready? All right, then I'll keep preaching. Scared half of you to death. Well, I was raised in the church. A pastor pass you the baton, say, finish it. Better be glad I ain't got a microphone. All right, I'll keep going. I ain't going to scare you no more. And by chance, I love how Jesus does this. Verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way and passed and saw him, and he passed on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. There's religion and the law coming by. Religion will look at you and say, I can't see nothing but the mess. Golly, I wish I had some real folk in here just say amen every once in a while on that. Have you ever looked at somebody and only seen their circumstances? They strung out on drugs. They're high. They're broke. They're poor. They're a prostitute. They're a liar. You see the circumstances, and it's easy if you're in religion to walk over to the other side and leave them there. It's easy to do that because all you can see is the mess. And when you get down the road and run into somebody else, it's just as religious as you are. You can tell each other how awesome you are because you didn't get in their mess. Makes you feel good when you can tell everybody else how bad somebody else is and how you can't see them getting right. What'd you do? I seen him. I seen him laying there. I told him not to go down that path. There he is. He ain't got nothing on his back. He ain't got no clothes. Ain't got no hope. Ain't got nothing. And he's almost half dead. I can't afford to take on that kind of a involvement. Are we the kind of church that's going to pass by on the other side? Or are we going to look at the mess every once in a while? Then the law came. See, when y'all busted and broke up and messed up in a religious place, you can't do nothing for us. If we're not careful, we become a religious church and we only want people to attach to our church who can help our cause. Put some money in a plate and look respectable and join some of our fine committee meetings and make some big decisions. That's what we want. We want somebody that's already made. God said, you want the ready-made. I want the ones that are so broken they don't look like they could ever be made. But when I make them, man, they're champions. We're going to pass by on the other side or we're going to jump in and get involved. Because there's a man under that mess. What you're looking at, you're looking at circumstances, but there's a man under there. And one day that man was you. And if you don't think it was you, then you're not saved. You're still in your sin and you think you're doing all right. Then the law came by. He was even worse. It walked up and looked right on him. Never mind. You ever had some religious people look right at you? Have you ever had some religious people just walk right up when you was in your mess? Look, hey, you're breaking all the commandments. Look at you. You're not dressed right. And your hair and your, man, your clothes. Look at you. You broke all the commandments. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Look at you. You're in a mess. Do you have to have anybody tell you you're in a mess? He's half dead. I was half dead. I didn't have to have nobody tell me I wasn't doing good. I know I'm not doing good. I'm dying. Do you have any answers? You're probably going to die. But I don't want to get myself messy. You ready? Here it comes. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, oh, he should have never said that, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Broken people don't need law. They don't need religion. They need compassion. And if you ain't got no compassion, it'll do you good to keep walking. If you ain't got no compassion, just keep on walking. And before you know it, you'll probably walk into a situation that looks a lot like theirs. How did he get in that? See, if he had done this, he had done that. Ain't that amazing? We're all judgmental until we're the ones starving. We're the ones hungry. Till the one that we needed some help. And then we can tell what... It wasn't that. It was some other things that happened. When I was in Jerusalem, I was a good guy. I just got on the wrong path and started headed down the wrong way. This is not where I intended to get to. It was some other people were involved, but I am a mess. You know when he said Samaritan, you know what he said? I hate to tell you all this. Y'all might not like this kind of language, but he's a half-breed. God, don't throw race in this thing. That's the problem with race today. If you make everything about races, you don't know what's right or wrong. What if it is racist or not? Amen? Guess what? These people weren't accepted. These people, it was the last person on the planet that should have been doing the helping. The people that should have never got in on the religious circle or the law that were already, they were excommunicated, but somehow they got in anyway. Is there anybody in here who got in anyway? Despite of the religion, despite of the law, despite any of it, you got saved anyway. And you're in the family of God anyway. And nobody knows how you got in, but they just can't get you out. Boy, I like that. Hey, I can't figure out. Kevin, I don't know what you are. You preach like this. You sound like that. You do this and that. I don't know what you are. I do. I'm a child of God. I got in. You can't get me out. The last person you thought, former addict, working on somebody who's addicted. Getting down in there, amen. Hey, the religion, the law didn't want to get dirty. But guess what? If you've been dirty, you don't mind to get dirty again. Some people looking to get dirty. I'd rather be in a mess and be messy than, guess what, than to be clean. It takes everything in me to dress up for church. Amen? I'm looking for a reason to get dirty. Last person they'd ever thought was going to show up, James, is this Samaritan half-breed who don't even belong in the church. I thought the church was going to save me. I thought the rules were going to save me. I thought the really religious elect was going to save me. But it's that dude who was jacked up. It was that girl who was messed up. That's the one who showed up and started helping people. And when they was helping people, everybody was criticizing why they were helping. But guess what? You don't listen to the criticizing when you get involved in the help. I like helping more than I like you doing nothing to help. I don't like the way you help. I don't like the way you don't do anything. Can I get into this? Y'all mind? I don't think you do. I really wasn't asking for permission. He came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Verse 34, he went to him and he bound up his wounds. If you're half dead, a lot of times those wounds are pretty bad. But can I preach? When you're cleaning somebody's wounds up, Ray, don't let me step on you. When you're cleaning somebody's wounds up, man, I hope your phone don't ring this morning. When you're cleaning somebody's wounds up, and they're wounded so bad, and they're bleeding so bad, and they're hurting so bad, a lot of times they don't look like themselves. When you first meet them and look at them, you think, this is an animal, this is a beast, it's not even a man, I don't even know if it's worthy. But when you swipe some of the blood away, when you get rid of some of the dirt, you start seeing a man. You start seeing a man. And when you see the man, you can see you. Amen. When you see the man, you can see you as the man. And all of a sudden, it's got a heartbeat. It's got lungs. It's got some stuff. And it don't matter if it's convenient or not. It don't matter if it's convenient. It don't matter where you was going. The Samaritan, I bet he had a plan. I bet he had a plan for everything that he had. But his plans went in the dumpster when he seen somebody like him who was in a mess. He's wounded. If he's wounded, I'll heal him up. Because I was once wounded. Have you ever been wounded? Some of y'all look good because you can cover up your wounds in the house of God and you're good, and you look good. But some of you got some wounds if you would expose them. You want it? You want it? Check this out. It's right here. What's this? He pouring in his oil, and he set him his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. You know what he had to do? He had to take some of his clothes off to cover him. He wasn't running around with gauze bandages and wound wrap. You know what he did? He removed some of his covering. How what does that mean, preacher? I'll tell you exactly what it means. Sometimes you have to expose some of who you are. Sometimes you got to take off a layer of your righteousness and expose who you are. And then somebody would see the scars that you got in your life. Whoa, I see something on your arm. I see something. Hey, amen, I see some things in your life. Where'd you get that big old scar? Where'd you get that tattoo? Where'd you get that from? I wasn't always saved. Some of y'all just got a frowny face when I said tattoo. Tattoo, tattoo, tattoo. Go home, suck about it. Well, that ain't the worst thing ever happened to you. I'm just telling you. But sometimes people need to know you was a mess before God got a hold of you. And when you strip some of your righteousness off and go ahead and start dressing somebody else, see, it's all right to put some righteousness on somebody else, some righteous clothing on somebody else, and expose yourself, because that's exactly what Jesus did. See, at the cross, we forget He was wounded for our transgressions. So He knew what it was going to be wounded, and didn't even deserve one. I've been wounded, and I deserved every one of them. Then He took off His garment. His outer garment was the only thing that was worth anything. And they gambled for His vesture. Remember that? So He took off His righteousness that we could be covered. Remember that? See, sometimes you got to take off who you are. Jesus was naked and exposed on that cross where you don't, my God, where you don't have to be naked and exposed in life. See, you're just like Jesus when you start getting in people's mess. You're just like Him. And it's real inconvenient. And it costs a lot. No, goodness, I can't believe I even said that in the church. It costs a lot. Went Him, bound up His wounds, pouring in the oil and wine, and set Him on His own beast. His own beast. Listen, that oil and wine costs some money. That's what they traded and bargained with more than anything. But then He put Him on His own beast. It's inconvenient. Sometimes you're going to have to put somebody a little bit higher than you are. Are you willing to take somebody that's wounded, messed up, and broken and put them a little bit higher than you are? Sometimes we just want to take people and we want to push them further down. Listen, that's going to be a place of, that's a place of honor. If you didn't know that, you can go read back in the Old Testament. If you was going to lift somebody up and honor them, you put them on your beast. Golly, I can't help but think what the broken man's thinking. Who's helping me? Who's helping me? Did you think somebody else was going to come, and when they didn't come, it was somebody you'd never seen coming? Whew. I remember August 28, 04. I thought somebody was coming, but I didn't know it was Him. And then since then, there's been some times I've got into some spiritual battles, and I had a list of people in my mind who I thought would show up. And the least of all of them that I thought was going to show up, showed up. All of a sudden, they come walking in the room, and you thought, can I be real? I thought you hated me. I thought you didn't like me. I didn't know you was for me. And they'll whisper in your ear, I'm not for you, I'm for God. So therefore, I'm for you. Sometimes you got to put some people in a position to succeed, not to continue to fail. Y'all ready? Y'all hearing this message? Y'all must be. Y'all so quiet. It's good, but weird at the same time. He set Him on His own beast and brought Him to an inn and took care of Him. And on the morrow when He departed, He took 2 pence and gave it to them of the host. And said unto Him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Sometimes it's going to cost us some money. I don't want to spend our good money on these broken people. Listen, I'm not foolish, but guess what? When it's really about healing people, those same people you rescue will be worth it in gold. Amen? See, there's some people scattered out through this room, and I'm not going to point fingers and say names, but you're trophies of grace because somebody took the time. Somebody stripped themselves of some stuff. Somebody poured in some oil and wine and some time. Somebody took their own money and invested in you. And you're sitting here this morning because somebody said, I'll pay the cost. I'll give everything I got for them to be somebody. And you are somebody, and you're worth more than anything that was ever lost. Can I tell you this? People are worth more than anything we'll ever lose as a church. Don't ever fall in love with your church and not fall in love with people. Because that's what we're in it for. Every time somebody gets on your nerves, every time somebody does something to bother you, every time you don't think somebody's measuring up to what you are, remember that was you at one time, but it's a people business. Not everybody changes at the same time. And if you really want to get down to it, and let's do this. There was a day that Jesus went to a cross and done all these things. He was wounded for our transgressions. Every time we've been wounded, He was wounded. Amen? He was stripped down. Amen? He was hung on that tree, was embarrassed, poured out His blood and water. Not oil, amen, and water. And can I say something? And I'm going to finish right here. Here's where I'm going to finish. Some of y'all are thinking, thank God. Here's where I'm going to finish. You say, well, what did it cost, Jesus? Do you know that God bankrupted heaven for you? No. I'm trying to keep it together right here. But do you know what Jesus is? He's the royal diadem of heaven. See, heaven ain't worth nothing if Jesus ain't in it. He's the royal diadem. That means He's the most expensive, most exquisite, most worshipped jewel in glory. And you know what He did one day? He looked through the annals of time and seen you and said, she's worth, He's worth dying for. And I'll bankrupt glory. I will spend all I got to reach them. Some of us have a hard time coming to grips with wasting anything we got for somebody else. God says, I'd gladly give it all and give it all again. Amen? Listen, I want to read this last verse. We'll be done. Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus to him, go and do thou likewise. You want to be a great Christian? Not a mediocre Christian? Not somebody, listen, you can't be a mediocre Christian anyway. You can be saved and not be a Christian. Do you want to be a Christian? Do you want to have people to say, that's a little Christ-like person? Then guess what? You need to wade off in the messes of people's lives when God directs you to do it. And get messy. Spend your life doing that. And you know what, at the end of your life, you know what you're going to say? That was a pretty good life. If you go chasing anything else but that, you know what you're going to come to this end of the life? I wished I'd have done something more with my life. And if you've got a little bit of time left, do it. And if you feel like you've got a whole lot of time left, do it. And if you're somewhere in between like me, give all your talents, all your strength, all your mind, and all your heart to Jesus. Amen. And love others as yourself. As we all stand, as they come get a song of invitation, if this message has spoke to you, maybe you're the one laying in a mess and you need help this morning. If you come up here, God will pour in the healing you need. Maybe you've been that person and you ain't been involved in people's lives. Maybe you've got to the point where you'll look on a mess, but you won't get involved in one. I ask you this morning, if you say today, you know what, I'm going to start getting involved. I'm going to start being more active as someone seeking out others to get them out of their mess. Come on, there's people coming. Don't wait one more minute. There's people praying all over the house. People are coming. Come on and pray. Don't sit here this morning and say, well, I made it to church. That was good enough. Praise God, that's not why God got you here. He brought you here for a bigger reason than that. Come on, come on. Are you struggling? Are you in a place of brokenness? Come on, come on, come on.